This is Fresh Air. The conflict between Israelis and Palestinians is one of the most trying issues of our day. Israeli filmmaker Iran Riklis deals with the problem in his new film, Cup Final. It's now playing at the Film Forum in New York and will be opening in other cities around the country later this fall. Cup Final, which is in Hebrew, Arabic, and English, has been praised for its humane, comic, and subtly surrealistic look at war. Riklis was born in Israel but grew up in Canada, the United States, Brazil, and England. He returned to Israel and served in the Yom Kippur War. Cup Final deals with Israel's war with Lebanon a decade later. Riklis read a news story about a 19-year-old Israeli soldier who was captured by a group of Palestinians and treated quite well. When they, in turn, were captured by Israeli soldiers, he asked that his Palestinian captors be released. In Riklis's film version of events, the Israeli soldier is a passionate soccer fan and shares this obsession with the leader of the Palestinian fighters. I asked Iran Riklis if he was interested in humanizing the conflicts between Israelis and Palestinians.
Yeah, look, I think my approach is, I'm not a political filmmaker as such, even though anything you do, I think, especially in the Middle East, is political. You know, if you raise a glass of water in your right hand and you're a right winger, and if it's left hand, you're a left winger. So, but yeah, I mean, my approach, my whole approach to politics, I think, and to the whole issue, which is a very delicate one, is from a humanistic point of view. And in that sense, I suppose my cinematic background derives itself from people like Renoir, you know, the French director. So it's really a humanistic approach to obviously heavily charged issue and very political issue.
Well, do you feel forced as a filmmaker to be political, whether you want to or not?
Well, I feel forced to be relevant. I think that's my main concern. I'm a great believer in relevant cinema, which, although I think the packaging must be, and I think that's what I've done in this film, I hope that's what I've done in this film, is I think the package should be entertaining or approachable. I mean, I would hate this film to be, you know, a kind of scratched, black and white, long, boring film, which could raise important issues, but nobody would want to see. So I think the packaging has to be entertaining. I think the packaging I gave this film is almost American in a way, or kind of Hollywood, your kind of Lost Platoon type of film.
How have Palestinians been portrayed in Israeli-made films, other Israeli-made films?
Well, they've rarely been portrayed, in fact. I mean, the problem is, I think, is Palestinians suffer from two major approaches in world cinema. I mean, I think, you know, American cinema has treated them as, you know, a bunch of hot-headed, crazy murderers normally. And even though they're normally played by Israeli actors in all the kind of, you know, action American films. But an Israeli film, I think, I mean, there have been films which treated Palestinians fairly, I think. But I think probably Cup Final is new in the sense that it gave the floor. I mean, if you have kind of, you know, 10 major characters in the film, 8 of them are Palestinians. So I think the floor is given to both sides in a kind of fair and even-handed way. And that's probably a new thing.
A more three-dimensional portrait then.
Yeah, I think, you know, if you think, I mean, for example, if you think about American films which dealt with Vietnam, which, you know, for me, Lebanon is very much the same as Vietnam was for the Americans. I can't recall any American film which, you know, showed us Vietnamese as human beings. They're normally just shadows backlit with fire all around them, or they're just, you know, bashing the heads of the American prisoners. You know, I try to really, yeah, to treat them as you know, as normal people, which they are. I mean, it's quite obvious, I think. So that was the whole reasoning behind the film.
Cohen is the Israeli reservist who's captured by this group of Palestinian fighters. And he says that the war, and this is in the beginning of the film, that the war in Lebanon is really interfering with his plans to live a normal life. And part of that is that he's got tickets to see the World Cup soccer games in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And then he says they, and I assume he's meaning Israeli leaders, they could have some consideration for the ticket-buying public.
Yeah.
He sounds like the words of a war-weary soldier.
He is, although he also says, you know, when one of the other soldiers tells him, well, you shouldn't have voted for the Likud, he says, well, what do you want? Do you want us to sit in shelters all the time? I think, you know, initially when Cohen goes to war, and this could have been an alternative title to the film, I suppose, Cohen Goes to War.
Right.
He is weary of war because I think all Israelis are. And I think the 1982 war in Lebanon is obviously the most controversial war Israel ever had. But initially, in the first, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 days, I think most people sort of thought, okay, you know, we're going into Lebanon, we're going to wipe out the Palestinian, or the PLO, and it's a justified war. And I think, I'm sure that Cohen, despite the interference with his, you know, wonderful plans to go to Barcelona and all the reservations he has for, and, you know, all the women he's intending to meet there, he still, it's complicated. I think he still thinks, you know, this is a just war, and I'm sure he's sort of thinking, okay, this will be over in 2-3 days, as was promised initially.
And then I can get back to my life.
Yeah, at least I can catch the quarterfinals in Barcelona, you know, so... I think in that sense, he really represents a common approach among the kind of, you know, and I'm saying this with caution, the kind of every man is the Israeli every man, because, you know, they, on one hand, everybody worries about his own private life and wants to do good in business and just enjoy a good life. On the other hand, there is a kind of feeling of cooperation, I suppose, with the government in the sense, in defense matters, at least.
Well, I noticed that much of the film, and in the film, we watch Cohen and these Palestinian fighters. They're wandering through Beirut. They stumble into houses where they can find a television set where they can watch the soccer match, and then they wander out into the real chaos of the country. And the movie is so much the conversations of the movie are so much between wanting to have a normal discussion about soccer, about one's family, and then these discussions erupting into these political discussions, these arguments about Palestinians and about Israelis and their rights to the land.
Well, I think that's the way it is, you know, and I'm sure it's probably the same thing all over the world, especially in areas where politics interfere with daily life on a constant basis. And certainly in Israel, you can't go through the day, whatever you're doing, making a film or anything else, without politics sort of, you know, bursting in. Even if the door is locked and you're kind of trying to say, you know, go away.
This is for the game today. Gate number 5, you see? Here, in the middle, here, that's me, here.
Gate number 5, a lot of money.
A lot of money I lost in this war. A lot of money.
Israel is not in the World Cup this year.
Israel almost, almost. But in 1970 in Mexico, then we had a very good team. Very, very good team. We played together, yes? Spiegler, Spiegel, Schum. But now we are not enough, you know.
Now you are good with wars.
Yes. Ah, no, no. I mean, our government is too busy. Our players are too busy.
Busy with war?
No, busy with money. Everybody wants more money.
You are all capitalists there, yes? Even your socialists are capitalists.
Capitalist, socialist, communist, everybody wants more money.
They all leave to America to make money. Yeah? That's the way of the Jews. Yeah?
I will never leave to America. Never.
You seem to be saying that if people who normally view each other as enemies, if they can get to know each other, if they can share family photos, a love of a sport, if they can dance together, then they can overcome years of hostilities. Do you believe that?
Well, I don't want to sound naive, and so I kind of believe it and I don't believe it. All I can say is, my personal experience as a filmmaker and as an Israeli citizen, and my experience traveling around the world now with this film, which I've been to, you know, 4 corners of the world, I've met a lot of Palestinians outside of Israel and a lot of Palestinians in Israel, and a lot of people who are working with me, or Palestinians or Israeli Arabs or whatever you want to call it. And I think, you know, once you have a working relationship or just a friendship, things suddenly seem very simple, you know. So you can argue about, you know, Italy winning or not winning the World Cup, but things tend to be suddenly very basic, you know. It's kind of the necessities of life which form the relationships. And as usual, I think, you know, the high politics kind of disregard the players in the field, you know, and intervene in the kind of normal course of people behaving with each other. I think once there's normal commerce between Israelis and Arabs, a normal cultural exchange, etc., I think probably things will be made easier. This, again, as I said, I'm not naive. I mean, obviously there's a lot of strong emotions involved, a lot of prejudice involved, a lot of history involved, which is difficult to overcome. But you know what? I think the results of the last elections in Israel show in a way that a larger number of people in Israel are becoming aware of the fact that, yeah, you know, that's it. We're fed up. We want to sit down and talk. We want to sort things out. So I think that's a good reflection of personal ideas that people have suddenly getting some kind of political force, which has, you know, overthrown the Likud government, which was there in power for 15 years.
I'm speaking with Israeli filmmaker Eran Rickless about his film called Cup Final, and it's about the relationship that develops between an Israeli soldier and a group of Palestinians who capture him during Israel's war with Lebanon. We'll talk more after a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with Israeli filmmaker Eran Rickless. Your cast and crew of this film, Cup Final, were both Israelis and Palestinians.
Yeah.
Is that unusual in Israel?
Well, I think, you know, this film, I had one rule when I was casting this film, that Arabs would play Arabs and Jews would play Jews. And I tried to stick, I mean, actually, I stuck to that all the way from the commander of the group and all the way down to the small kid in the wedding. I mean, it's because I thought for these kind of characters, which are rather three-dimensional and have a lot of history around behind them, it was important to have actors who would have some kind of bearing on their role and wouldn't have to go and start, you know, reading books about it. So whether it's unusual or not, I mean, you have to realize that all the Arab Israelis who play in this film are all well-known stars in Israel. Some of them are in the, you know, theater, some of them are in television, in films. It's not as if I've discovered something. Mm. But it's probably the first Israeli film which has such a major cast of Arab Israelis.
And were there political discussions behind the scenes the way we see them in the movie?
I think they were resolved before the actual shoot, because what I did is I had a five-week session of rehearsals, which beyond just working with the actors and then doing a lot of work individually with them and as a group, I really tried to kind of sort out all the potential tensions or political tensions before the actual shoot, because when you're shooting for, you know, 33 days, you can't really afford to start having arguments on the set. I think what's interesting, though, is that when the film was released, some of them had some major problems with it.
In what way?
In the way that there was a lot of pressure from Arab press, Arab communist press in Israel, sort of saying, you know, how come an Arab actor is playing in a Zionist film? Because you have to realize this film was in Israel. It was attacked from every possible angle. I mean, the right wing said it was a PLO film. The left wing said it was a right wing film. You know, it was almost an impossible situation.
Probably tells you you're onto something when you get that kind of reaction.
Yeah, yeah. Although, unfortunately, the film didn't do very well in Israel, and it kind of had a totally different career in Israel and abroad. Because as an Israeli film, it's a major success in Europe, and now it's opening here in the States. It's already got some great reviews. So I don't know, it's kind of like looking at two different films. It's rather weird, even for me today, with the perspective of a few months already.
Well, let me get back to what you were saying about the kind of criticism then that the actors got from their respective presses, I guess. How do they have an answer to that, or did you have an answer to that?
Well, you know, it's funny. On the eve of the premiere in Jerusalem, Emil Habibi, who's a very prominent, is the most prominent Arab writer in Israel, who I didn't know personally, came up to me after the screening and hugged me and said, "Eran, this is the most exciting experience I've had over the past 10 years. And I love the film, but I want to warn you, next week you're going to be attacked, at least by the Arab press, from every possible angle. And to counterattack that, I'm going to write a big article and publish it all over the Arab world and all that." I don't know, I think there was a kind of emotional problem which the Arab media, at least, had with the sense that, you know, how come an Israeli is coming down here and making a film about us? You know, what right does he have, in a way? Which to me is a bit awkward and strange, and I kind of, you know, I can't really cope with that. I mean, it's.
Do you have an answer for that?
Well, I think it's absurd. I think the film is about breaking barriers between, you know, who cares if you're an Israeli or an Arab or whatever. I mean, so, you know, why can't an Israeli make a film about Arabs and vice versa? You know, and although on the other hand, what I did say is I said, look, this film is not a commissioned film, you know, and I think this film was not, you know, made by the PLO, and it was not made by the Israeli government. It wasn't made by anyone. Kind of wasn't commissioned by anyone. It was made by private people, with private points of view. And I think with respect for everyone, and I think that's what you should respect, because, you know, this film is fair. Notwithstanding the fact that it was made by an Israeli, and you can't avoid that. And I'll be very glad to see a Palestinian directing a film about, you know, the same subject.
What is your next project?
Well, my next, I have two next projects, actually. One is a kind of story of an Oriental singer in Israel, who, it's your kind of Jim Morrison kind of story, you know, drug, sex, and rock and roll, but with a kind of Sephardic Jews version, which all has all to do with the kind of social phenomenon in early 80s in Israel, with, you know, the conservatives coming to power, the kind of Oriental Jews suddenly changing their status in the country and all of that. And so that's my immediate project, which I'm going to do very soon. And then right after that, I have a much more ambitious and bigger project, which is called Jealous God.
What's that?
Which is all about a character called Shapira, who lived in Jerusalem in the 19th century, and who one day claimed, he was a forger and kind of quite a character, who one day claimed that he discovered what's called today the Dead Sea Scrolls. And at that time, it was a kind of, you know, world sensation, because it was kind of the first proof to the word of God, you know. And he went to London, he was offered £1 million by the British Museum, and then it was claimed that the whole thing is a huge forgery, and the whole deal fell through. So it's a kind of a story of a guy who tries to conquer the world and fails and just burns in the process, I suppose.
Iran Rickless, thank you for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Thank you.
Iran Rickless's film Cup Final is playing in New York at the Film Forum. It will open in other cities around the country later this fall. This is Fresh Air.